I've entitled this message, As Many As Had Plagues. As Many As Had Plagues. In verse 9, he spake to his disciples that a small ship should wait on him because of the multitude, lest they should throng him, crush him. For he had healed many, insomuch that they pressed upon him for to touch him, as many as had plagues. Now he told his disciples, put a boat out in the water. You see, he had healed so many people, people were coming at him to touch him, to come into contact with him. Multitudes of people. Now try to picture that today. If the Lord were here actually healing people, blind people receiving their sight, and lepers being cleansed, the lame walking. Can you imagine what a zoo this place would be? There'd be people from all over the world. I mean, it'd be out on the internet, be on the news, this happening. People from all over the world would be flying into Lexington, Kentucky. I'm sure if something like this is documented, this is actually taking place, we wouldn't know what to do. Well, it was happening during the earthly ministry of the Lord. He was performing these miracles. And most of his miracles were miracles of healing, where people were actually healed. Not the stuff you read about that goes on in the healing services that's nothing but phony, but I mean people were actually healed. People who were blind were given their sight. Lepers were cleansed. The lame were made to walk. The deaf heard. The mute spake. The paralytic rose up and walked. Fevers left. The maimed were made whole. You know what it talks about that man with the dropsy and he was healed? That means he had edema. He was probably swollen, and all of a sudden he wasn't swollen anymore. When the Lord healed people, they were truly and genuinely healed. Withered hands were restored, and he was never unsuccessful. Never. He never said, well, you didn't have the faith for this to get done. When he healed somebody, they were healed. He cast out people who were possessed with demons. He cured mental illnesses. He did what only God could do. He controlled the weather. I can identify with the disciples so much when they said, what manner of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey him? He brought matter into the universe that was not there before when he created food to feed the multitudes. He suspended the law of physics. They're his laws. But he suspended the law of physics when he walked upon the water. I love to think of him changing the water into wine. It wasn't water that looked like wine or smelled like wine or tasted like wine. It was wine. The properties were actually changed. He did what only God could do. We have three recorded instances of him raising people from the dead. And he may have done it more times, and there's only three recorded, but he did what only God could do. And no wonder people were thronging him. He was really doing these things. Now somebody says, well, why can't we do them today? The disciples were able to do these things. Well, I'm sure that if it were best, we'd be doing them. But the scripture says, now abideth faith, hope, and charity. These supernatural miracles are gone. And I know that there are people that say, well, they're still in practice. No, they're not. And the scripture teaches clearly that it was only through the laying on of the apostles' hands that the supernatural gifts of the Holy Spirit were given so these miracles could be performed. And after the apostles died out, nobody else could work these miracles, but the Lord was actually doing them. Now, if you were sick at that time, what would you have done? You would have found a way to get to him, wouldn't you? You would have found a way to get to him. That's what these people were doing. Turn with me for a second to Mark chapter 5. We'll be considering this in a few weeks, but just let me read this scripture. Verse 25. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years. She had a menstrual disease. Can you imagine how weakened she was? And had suffered many things with many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing bettered but rather grew worse when she had heard of Jesus. She heard about him doing all these miraculous cures, doing what only God could do. She heard of this and she had a real interest. She came in the press behind and touched his garment, for she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee. This must have been an everyday occurrence with him. You think about this, because of all these miracles that he really did. If I was blind, I'd get somebody to lead me to him. If I had leprosy, I'd want to get to him. If I was lame, I'd want somebody to carry me to him. I mean, you think of all the people thronging him, wanting to come into contact with him because of these mighty miracles which he performed. Verse 32, and he looked round about to see her that had done this thing, but the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Now those who pressed on him to touch him are clearly identified in this passage of Scripture, as many as had plagues. Now this word plague is sometimes translated scourge. It has something to do with painfulness. You had some kind of disease that was extremely painful. And as many as all who had plagues, every single one of them, no exceptions to the rule, as many as had plagues came to touch him. He healed them that had need of healing. I love Matthew chapter 14, verse 36. As many as touched him were made perfectly whole. He's a great physician that had this 100% success rate. And he had a 100% success rate with every disease or affliction. Now, who's interested in this? Well, if you feel good, you think that's good to know if I ever need it. But if you're sick, the whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Don't miss this phrase, as many as. As many as had plagues. Now that word means everybody in that demographic. Not most of the people who had plagues, but as many as had plagues. They all were pressing to touch him. Now I want us to think, and I want us to think about this phrase and look at some scriptures that use this phrase, as many as. As many as. Everybody in that group. And really the point behind this is election. Christ's effectual redemption for the elect. All the elect, every one of them, without exception, they're all going to come to Christ. They're all going to be saved. Everybody that Christ died for, as many as he died for, they're all going to stand in glory, perfectly conformed to the image of Christ. as many as are sinners. As many as are sinners. How do you respond to that? As many as are sinners shall be saved. Now the first scripture I want to look at is found in Revelation chapter 3. The Lord is speaking to the church at Laodicea. And he says in verse 19, as many as I love, as many as I love, I rebuke and I chasten. Now, my first response to that is, while I'm not wanting to be rebuked and chastened, I sure want to be rebuked and chastened. I don't want to be left to myself because I want to be in this group that he loves. Now, nobody is looking for punishment. I don't want that. And besides, the Lord doesn't punish his people anyway. He chastens us that we might be partakers of his holiness, the scripture says. No chastening for the present time seems joyous but grievous. Nevertheless, afterwards it yieldeth the peaceable fruits of righteousness to them that are exercised thereby. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourges every son he receiveth. You don't chasten other people's children, do you? You chasten your own. Now, as many as the Lord loveth. As many as the Lord loveth. Now, not all men are in that group, as many as I love. I think of these scriptures, whom, not what, whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate, whom he did forelove. That's what that means. Whom he did love beforehand, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Behold, I have loved you with an everlasting love. To say he loves all men the same is to make his love meaningless. And that's important for me and you to get a hold of. Most of this religious world says he loves all men the same. Now, if he loves all men the same, and some of those same men are saved, and some of those same men are lost, his love didn't do the ones who were lost any good, and really didn't do the ones who were saved any good. It's what they did. That makes salvation a message of works. That's all it is. As many as I love. I think of what Paul said in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, when he said, I live yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Listen to this. Who loved me. Who loved me. And who gave himself for me. Now you tell me that he loved and gave himself for somebody that's in hell, and you make that completely meaningless. He loved me. And he gave himself for me. Now the Bible never speaks of him loving all men the same and dying for all men the same. The Bible just doesn't speak of that. Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. That's God speaking. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. That's God speaking. But the point behind this is this. If he loves you, you must be saved. If he died for you, you must be saved. That's the point. His love is saving love. I think of that scripture in Ephesians chapter 2. He said, you were by nature children of wrath, even as others, but God, who is rich in mercy for his, what? Great love, wherewith he loved us even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. Now, if somebody is disposed to argue against this, take it up with Him. He wrote it. It's His word. I love the hymn we sing, I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how He could love me, a sinner, condemned, unclean. For me it was in the garden. He prayed, not my will but thine. He had no tears for His own griefs, but sweat drops of blood for mine. He took my sins and my sorrows. He made them His very own. He bore the burden to Calvary and suffered and died alone. When with the ransomed in glory His face I at last shall see, 'twill be my joy through the ages to sing of His love for me. You know a name that I love that John gives himself when he never gives his own name? He simply calls himself that disciple that Jesus loved. That's who I want to be, don't you? That disciple who Jesus loved. Turn with me to Acts chapter 13. Now this is Luke's editorial comment on the first recorded sermon we have of the Apostle Paul, after Paul preached. Luke chapter 13, verse 48. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as, there's that word, as many as, were ordained to eternal life, believed. Who was it that believed? As many as were ordained to eternal life. Now this is a reference to election. Being ordained to eternal life. All of the elect were ordained to eternal life. And that's why they believed. They were ordained to eternal life. Now, I don't claim to fully comprehend this, but this thing of election, of course I don't claim to fully comprehend it. I just believe what the Bible says. But somehow, the elect have always been in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what that means? Somehow, I have always been. If you're a believer, somehow you personally have always been in the Lord Jesus Christ. There was never a time when that began to be. Now, that blows my mind. I can't grasp that. But it's still what the Scripture teaches. The eternal union of the elect with the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul preached that message. The Gentiles heard it. They were glad. They rejoiced in that message. And they glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. Paul said to the Thessalonians, we're bound to thank God always for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Turn to Acts chapter 2. Verse 37. This is after Peter had preached that great message on the day of Pentecost. Now when they had heard this, verse 37... they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Now what did they mean by that? We're in trouble. Give us some direction. We're going to go to hell. Give us some direction. What shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now somebody says, well, that sounds like the remission of sins comes through being baptized. Well, I won't deny that it does sound like that, but you know that's not what it means. You know that from other scriptures. You've got to be able to throw the whole Bible at a verse of scripture, so you know it doesn't mean that. And I believe this is one of those many scriptures the Lord allows to be put in such a way, if somebody wants to hang themselves, here it is. You can do it. You can hang yourself on that. So you got to be baptized to have your sins washed away. But look at verse 39. For the promise of the gospel is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Now here we have the broadness of the gospel call. He looks at the murderers of Christ and he says, the promise is to you. You reckon that caught their attention? The promise is to you and to your children and to everybody afar off. What a glorious way to preach the gospel. But he also says this, he puts this, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. That's who the promise is to, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. We preach Christ crucified unto the Jews a stumbling block and to the Greeks foolishness, but unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, Christ, the wisdom of God. Now, if God has called you, let me tell you what you do know. You know that Christ is the wisdom of God in making a way for him to be just and justify somebody unjust like you. He's the wisdom of God. And not only is he the wisdom of God, he's the power of God to execute this, to make it to where God really does make me just in a way that honors his justice and his law actually demands my salvation. Galatians 3. Verse 27. For as many of you, there it is again, as many of, as many of you as have been baptized into Christ, everybody that's been baptized into Christ has put on Christ. Now, this is not talking about water baptism. It's talking about being baptized into Christ. But water baptism lets us know what that means. Now, when I baptize somebody, when the preacher baptizes somebody, he puts them all the way under in the water, doesn't he? All the way under. They're completely submerged. They're completely immersed in the water, under the water. And you know what that happens? Every square inch of that person gets wet. Every square inch of that person is doused in the water, under the water, not outside of the water. That's putting on Christ. When you come up, you're wet. That's putting on the Lord Jesus Christ. When you're completely wet. You have him, he's your clothing. You're clothed with Christ. That's what that means. When you are immersed in Christ, you're clothed with Christ so that all that is seen is Jesus Christ. Isn't that wonderful? Paul said, oh, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness. I don't want to have anything to do with that, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Everybody that has been baptized into Christ, they're wearing Christ. They're wearing Christ. When they were submerged into Christ, they were completely covered by Christ. All they have on is the Lord Jesus Christ. John 1. Verse 11. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as, there's that word again, as many as received him, To them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Now, as many as received him. What does it mean to receive the Lord Jesus Christ? It's something I have to do. I myself, only by his grace, I realize that, but I myself must actually receive the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, what does it mean to receive him? What takes place when you receive the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, we don't have to stretch. Even to them that believe on his name. That's what it is to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. You believe, you rely on his name. His name is his attributes. You see, you're relying on him as an act of his sovereignty to say, I will, you're saved. That's, you're relying on that. You're relying on his justice to save you in a way that honors the very justice of God and honors every attribute of God. You're relying on his power to cause your sins to be put away. You're relying on his grace and his kindness and his love. You're relying on every attribute. That's what it means to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. You receive him as all. You receive him as all, to where you don't really have anything but him. And if you have anything but him, he's not all to you. That's what it is to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. It's to receive him as all. Now, here's how you did this. Verse 13, which were birthed by the Spirit of God, not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, not of the will of man, but of God. Romans chapter 8. This was helpful to me. Romans chapter 8, verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, everybody in that demographic, folks who are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now, the word led is in the passive voice. What does that mean? That means they're led by being laid hold of. That's what that means. You're led by the Spirit of God when he lays hold of you and leads you. There's not some kind of formula. Well, what do I need to be led of the Spirit? I need to talk about walking in the flesh and walking in the Spirit. No, this thing of being led of the Spirit of God is where he lays hold of you and he leads you. Now, the only folks that are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. He's made them sons and he leads them. And I tell you where he leads them. He leads them to look to Christ only and continually and nowhere else. That's what the Spirit of God does. If you're led of the Spirit, the Scripture says in Galatians 5:18, you're not under law. You're not under law. If you're led of the Spirit, you're somebody who looks to Christ just like those children of Israel looked at the brazen serpent. You look and you continue to look. As you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. That is what those who are led by the Spirit of God do. They walk in him. They look to him only. Now, Galatians chapter 6, this is the last one. Verse 16. Here's the word, as many as again. As many as walk according to this rule. Peace be on them. And mercy. And upon the Israel of God. Now, everybody who walks according to this rule, they've got peace. They have mercy, And they are the true Israel of God. They are the true Jew. Now, what is the rule he's talking about walking by? Verse 14 states it as plain as can be said, but God forbid. Now, remember who's talking. It's Paul talking. I'd listen to this man more than I'd listen to any other human being. This is Paul talking. What a man that God has used and revealed himself to. This is Paul talking. I might wonder if it was anybody else, but Paul speaking. And he says, God forbid. That's the strongest negation there is. God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. I look nowhere but who he is, what he did, why he did it, and what he accomplished. I look to Christ only. Now, as many as are loved by God, as many as were ordained to eternal life, as many as were baptized into Christ, as many as God has called, as many as received him, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, every one of them knew this. They glory only in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. May God teach us what it means to glory only in the cross. Let's pray. Lord, we pray that we might be of that number, as many as had plagues. Come to thy dear Son and find our whole salvation in him. Bless this word for your glory and for our good. Lord, let us be of the number who you love. Let us be of the number who have ordained to eternal life. Let us be of that number who are baptized into Christ. Let us be of that number who are led of the Spirit. Let us be of that number that you call to yourself. Let us be of that number that glory only in the cross. Lord, we dread the thought of being left to ourselves in any way. Lord, cause your grace to reign in us in every respect for the glory of thy name. Order our steps in your word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.